Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We have the great privilege of having Jay Newland with us again this morning. I always love it when he's here. He's a great guy. He's got a great, he's in tune with God. He's got it all going on. He's even got a cool haircut that I'm kind of jealous of. Jay, would you come on up?
Thank you. Thanks, Isaac. Thanks for leading us in worship, and appreciate the team. Really sensed God in that time. But I want to just begin, if we could, just to, we're going to jump into Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at the fifth and sixth seals. I know Pastor Joseph has been walking you through kind of chapter by chapter in the book of Revelation. So this is part 5 of the final chapter series. So I'm excited to be with you and sharing. But first, I just want to open with just a word of prayer. And before I do, you know, something caught my attention in a conversation about just having a chaotic week. And, you know, that kind of resonated with me. And I just got that sense as we were worshiping, maybe we could just pray over whatever's been going on in your world and in your life. This is the season that we're in is challenging in many ways. Whether you're still out of work, whether you have loved ones or friends who are affected by COVID-19, there's just so many moving parts in our world right now. And whatever your week's been like, I want to just pray through a verse. And it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and it says that at the beginning of creation, the living God, the Spirit of the living God, hovered over the dark waters, over the chaos. And so just with that in your mind, let's pray, okay? God, we thank you for this time that we could just gather together and in person and online, and that we could look at your word, the book of Revelation, which sometimes can be confusing, sometimes very difficult for us to maybe comprehend. But God, I just pray that you would speak through these words, through this chapter 6, through these images. We pray for your truth, Lord, to impact our hearts and our lives now, today. And we pray for any chaos that's going on and the individuals who are here or online. I pray, God, that there would just be a spirit of peace right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Well, today I've entitled this message, Skyfall. Skyfall. And you'll kind of understand that as we jump in just a few minutes, as we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 9, or chapter 6, verses 9 through 17 in a moment. But we're going to be looking at basically scenes of the sky falling. And so as I was looking at this passage and these images and what's happening in these powerful images, and this revelation is written by the Apostle John, who was on the island of Patmos, had this amazing revelation about the end times. And when I was thinking about this, you know, in popular entertainment, the end times, and actually quite a bit of end times movies, books, things like that, are based on the Bible. And Hollywood kind of has their own spin on these things. Lots of different movies. There were books, the Left Behind books that were very popular about 20 years ago. But I remember back to a conversation I had with some staff that I was working with at a church a few years ago, and we were talking about our favorite all-time movies, all right? And of course, you know, few staff members had to say Star Wars, right? Maybe Raiders of the Lost Ark or classic movies. And then one staff member said, Armageddon is my favorite movie. And I was like, out of all the movies, Armageddon is your favorite movie? And we kind of went back, and I was like, really? Armageddon? And that kind of shocked me. That was like, it took me a while to, and I mean, I think even the next day, I was like, you were really serious. Armageddon with Ben Affleck is your favorite movie of all time? But, you know, the interesting thing about our world and their kind of the lens through popular entertainment in Hollywood that they look at the end times and the Bible is, it's entertainment. You know, I don't know if any of you saw this, but Marcus Movie Theaters actually said they're going to be opening up again, and I'd shared that with my wife because we love date nights at the movies, getting popcorn and pop and things like that. But the reality is, for what we read about in the book of Revelation, it will not be a time for popcorn and candy and entertainment. And I think that's a lot to take in sometimes. A lot for us to maybe wrap our minds and our hearts around. So I want to just kind of help frame the book of Revelation for us and what I believe it, God wants to speak to us through every chapter in Revelation. There's three things that kind of came to my heart, and I want to just set the kind of lay the groundwork for this message, and just a reminder. So John's book of Revelation speaks to us today in three ways. First of all, it reminds us who God is. Throughout every chapter and every picture and everything that John reveals through this book, we are reminded of who God is, his character. And sometimes we lose track of that in this discussion. We get really wrapped up in, what does this mean? What does this picture mean? What does, what do all these images mean? And we lose track of, through every chapter of the Bible, we are reminded of how great and awesome and a great and awesome loving God we have. The second thing is, John's revelation speaks to us today through comforting us about our future hope, helping us understand what the end is going to be, that there is an end, and we know who wins. We are in, and we can see it right now in our world today, there is a battle of good and evil. It should comfort us when we read the book of Revelation to understand that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be an end to pain and suffering. There's different sports I like to watch, especially college basketball. I grew up in Kansas, so I'm a Jayhawk fan, so I don't know that there's any other Jayhawk fans here. Surely there's a few watching online, but one of the things is I get really wrapped up in those games, and sometimes I can't watch them, and I'm sure with Iowa games or Husker games, some of you guys have those times where you're recording it, and you don't want to know, right? You don't want anybody to tell you what happens until you go and watch it live. Now, I've gotten to the point, though, I kind of want to just look. If I can't see the game, I want to go, and I'll go on my phone, and I'll kind of follow online, and see what the score is, see what the final score is, and if they won, then I'll go and watch what I recorded. Because it's so much more fun. It's so much more fun in those nerve-wracking moments of the game. I'm just like, they're gonna do just fine with this. They're behind by 10 points. Actually, I know they win. The book of Revelation comforts us the same way. That we can look and we can look at the news, you can look at your Facebook feed, you can look at anything else, and you can understand and see and know in your heart, I know how all this ends. It's tough right now, but I know how it ends. So Revelation speaks to us by reminding us who God is, comforting us about our future hope. And then the third thing is it challenges us to live your best today. You see, we're reading about what's going to happen in the future. But it's not like, if you remember the movie Back to the Future, all right, and Back to the Future 2, there's like this book, sports book, that tells one of the characters everything that's going to happen, and they bet on all the games and change the future and everything else. We don't have that kind of situation here, because no one knows except God when everything's going to happen. We don't know when, but we do know what we can do now. And so when you're reading the book of Revelation, and too many people have gotten too caught up in setting dates, even though we're warned not to set dates, not to get caught up in that kind of stuff, and the best thing we can do is we can read the book of Revelation, we can study it, and then we can apply it to today. What do we do now with our lives? What is God challenging us to do now? And that will certainly come into what we're going to look at today. Now, the imagery we're looking at are the fifth and sixth seals that are opened up. And one of the things that I'm not sure, I didn't catch this in Pastor Joseph's message, but there's kind of a debate with all this imagery that you read about, whether or not it is literal or figurative. Is all the stuff you're reading and we're going to read, is it really going to happen exactly like this? Or were these figurative images that John is giving us about what will really happen? You could read different commentaries and study Bibles, and they'll tell you all different kinds of things. We don't know exactly for sure. We just know this is true, okay? And we don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we get a really good framework. And so as we look at this, don't get too caught up in details, but remember these three things about who God is, how he wants to comfort us and challenge us. All right, let's jump in. We're going to read Revelation chapter 9, and then we're going to just do the fifth seal first. I'm going to talk about that, and then we'll go to the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. It says, "When the Lamb broke open the fifth seal, I saw gathered under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because they had the testimony of the Lamb. They cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, holy and dependable, how long before you judge those who live on the earth and vindicate our blood on them?' Each one was given a glistening white robe, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number was fulfilled of both their fellow servants and brothers and sisters who were going to be killed just as they had been." Now, this seal is pretty heavy. It's got some things going on that you're kind of may scratch your head or like, wow, this is a lot. What does this all mean? First of all, it talks about that John sees this image of an altar and the souls of those who had been slain. That means those who had been martyred. Those who had been martyred, those who had given their life for Jesus Christ, standing up for their faith throughout the years, since the beginning of the church, people have given their lives. They would not relinquish their faith, even unto death. And so this is those who had been slain because of Christ, and they were all under the altar. And what that means, it talks about under the altar, is this is Old Testament imagery. In the Old Testament, if you read about the different sacrifices, like in the book of Leviticus, there was an altar. And that is where sacrifices for people's sins, because the blood symbolized life, that blood would then pour off the altar. And so this imagery of people under the altar whose blood had been shed for the faith, for Jesus Christ, That's what this picture is all about. But the big thing in this is all of them crying out and saying, how long before you judge those who live on the earth and vindicate our blood on them? So, what this is talking about is those who are still on the earth are not following God. In fact, they are responsible for some of those who have been killed for their faith in Christ. And so there's this cry, and the big question is this a cry for vengeance? Is this a cry for payback when you first read it? But actually, it's a cry for justice. A cry for justice. A point here I want to just share with you is this, is when his kingdom fully comes, his justice will be fully realized. Fully realized. This is about justice. And remember, the book of Revelation, just like every other book, reveals who God is. God is a loving God, but he is also a just God. He is a just God. And we look at the injustices that have happened in our society, and it troubles many people. And you see the chaos that is erupting in our streets because of injustice. We have a God who at the very end will make everything right. And that's what this is talking about, this piece of injustice. There will be justice for those who were slain because they were Christians. Now, we're going to jump ahead and we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. This is the sixth seal. It says, "And behold, I saw the Lamb break open the sixth seal, which released a powerful earthquake. I saw the sun become pitch black and the full moon become blood red. The stars fell from heaven to the earth as a fig tree shaken by a stormy wind sheds its unripe figs. The sky receded with a snap as a scroll rolls itself up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the king of the earth and its great princes and generals, the rich and powerful, and everyone, whether they were slave or free, ran for cover and hid in the caves and among the mountain bound boulders. It called out to the mountains and the boulders, saying, 'Fall on us at once. Hide us quickly from the glorious face of the one who's seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" With this seal, by the way, I've been reading from the Passion Translation, which I don't usually do that, but the imagery and the description in this translation is very, very good. With this seal, the sky is literally falling. The cosmic upheaval that's happening here is pretty dramatic. In fact, as I read this, this is a passage that often Hollywood would use in different movies. This imagery of what's happening to the stars, the moon, the sun. The chaos isn't just on earth, it's in the sky. And it's literally falling. Right now in our world today, as you turn on the news, as you look at what's happening in our world, if you turned on the 6 o'clock news and they said, "Tomorrow the sky's going to fall," we might probably just say, "Yep, that seems about right with what's been happening." But this is pretty intense stuff. What we're reading here, the sky falling. So what do all these images mean? Well, one of the things here that's interesting is we have images like the earthquake. Literally, it talks about the earth shaking. And that imagery and those words are actually used in the book of Haggai. And Jesus talks about them in the book of Matthew. So there's kind of this echoing of the same imagery of the end times, that the earth will actually be shaking. The fig tree was something that Jesus talked about as well. So these are familiar images for those who are reading for the first time, and for those for us now as we look at the rest of Scripture. But I want to highlight one image in particular. Verse 12, it says, I saw the sun become pitch black. In other translations, in the original translation, it's talking about that the sun was black as sackcloth. And when you read that, you might be like, what does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, sackcloth was this cloth that was used for mourning. It symbolized mourning. It was something that people used to symbolize what was happening, whether they were mourning death or unrighteousness. Sackcloth was attached with mourning. It was made from black goat hair, and this imagery says something. And back to what I was talking about at the very beginning of this message, remember, this book tells us who God is. It reminds us who God is. I really, as I was looking at this with all these imagery, all these images, I was wondering, which one do I talk about? But this is the one I was drawn to. And here's why. Everyone who rejects Jesus, here in the last days, what we're seeing here, everyone who is on earth at this point, have chosen not to follow God. They have rejected Jesus. They refuse to accept their destiny as Imago Dei. Imago Dei is the Latin for image created in the image of God. Everyone is created in the image of God. And God is pursuing as many people that would come to Him, surrender their lives to them, and fulfill that destiny. But for those who do not, and it goes on to describe those who are running from God, the destruction, they are destined for destruction. But the destruction of people is not a happy thing for God. That's why I believe this imagery here, sackcloth, is here. Because at the end, even though it's comforting for us, for believers, to know that in the end, evil will be defeated once and for all, those who choose not to accept Christ, to turn their back on Christ, to persecute Christians, there is destruction. But that's not a happy day for God. Every person that's destroyed are people that were created in His image. And what does that mean for us today? What does this mean for us? Because it's important for us to understand, first of all, this scripture is one that really jumped out to me out of the book of Joel. It says, "Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And He relents from sending calamity." Joel 2:13. This is who God is. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And He relents from sending calamity. It is not His preference. But at the very end, for this old world, this broken world, and evil to be wiped away, all of this will be necessary. But still, with the sun turning black as sackcloth, God is mourning, even though this must be done. And this is what it says about God. To the very end, God is the very same loving God. Yes, He is just. Yes, He hates sin and evil. But it hurts His heart to see any person walk away from Him. The next scene is very dramatic, and I want to look at it one more time here. It says, the sky receded with a snap, as a scroll rolls itself up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth and its great princes and generals, the rich and the powerful, and everyone, whether they were slave or free, ran for cover and hid in the caves and among the mountain boulders. This image also jumped out to me, the sky rolling up like a scroll. Now, here in the Midwest, we actually kind of have a preview of this. Anytime there's a thunderstorm, a tornado warning, as you look up to the sky, you can kind of see that kind of stuff happening, right? Where the clouds are building, all that kind of stuff that's happening. As maybe you get the television warning or things like that, we all have those kinds of, we've all had those moments, we've seen those things. Maybe online and here today, maybe, I wonder, where do you go when that happens? How many of you go right to the basement and you're like, I'm going to a lower level if it's serious, like we're in a tornado watch or warning? Anybody like that? How many of you go out to your porch or your deck and you're like, I want to get my phone out? Yes, lots of you. And I want to video this, right, to share with everybody. Okay. All right. That's all right. Well, the result of what we see here in the end will be so powerful. What's happening with the earth shaking and the sky rolling up, that people will be running. And this is the point I want to share. Those who remain will attempt to run from their reckoning. That's what we're seeing here. And it's actually talking about people, everybody from generals to people who are very poor, all those who have denied Christ, who have denied the faith, they'll be running from their reckoning, trying to hide. And the key word is attempt. They will attempt to run from it and hide. But this is encouraging, as justice will be served on the evil and should give us urgency. Mind you, this is the challenge. This should give us urgency for the gospel, to share the good news that every person you come into contact with, that they would have the opportunity to run to the loving Father, just like in the prodigal son, the story of this prodigal son, that you would give them the opportunity to hear the good news, the story of how Jesus changed your life, so they can understand what the full life means here today in the midst of chaos and the full life for eternity. This should challenge us. So not only do we have a preview of how people will act, but also what they will say as we keep reading. It says they called out to the mountains and boulders saying, fall on us at once. Hide us quickly from the glorious face of the one seated on their throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? You know, these images of the sky rolling up, the earth shaking, things falling from the sky. Who is able to stand? This imagery is very powerful. I asked earlier, where do you go in the time of the storms? Many of you are saying, hey, I want to go out and look. I want to see what's happening. At this time, when this happens, we don't know when it happens, no one will be able to find a safe place. No one will be able to find a safe place. At the very end, for all those who have refused to submit to God will admit they cannot stand his judgment. As I was reading this, and this word stand, This who will be able to stand, it just took me back to a very beautiful passage in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 11. Says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At some point, everyone will have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Everyone will have to acknowledge Jesus is Lord. For those who do not want to acknowledge it in this time and in this season and want to live a life on their own, doing their own thing, not paying any attention to their eternal destiny, not accepting Jesus, will be a sobering reality, one they will want to run from. But I believe that reading this should give us an urgency for ourselves and for anyone we know, that we would share with them the good news so that they would run to kneel. And this really leads me to this last point, which is a question. Since no one will be able to stand in the end, where do you stand with God now? That's the important question for all of this. Remember, we don't know when all this stuff is going to happen. It's going to happen sometime in the future. So what are you going to do now? Right now, where do you stand with God? I was thinking about this and this, where do you stand? It's just been rattling in my heart for a few days. And even this morning, I was thinking about this. In our world right now, we have a new reality. Any store or restaurant you go to, there's now markers where you get to stand, right? There's circles. You get in a line, you've got a circle, you stand there. 6 feet apart, right? In Walmart, there's arrows now in the aisles. Go this way. Has anybody noticed that? Okay, you noticed that? I was noticing that as I was going down the wrong way of an aisle, passing a Walmart worker that was looking at me like, I was like, dude, this is all new to me. But we got all these stickers. Stand here. Stand there. Those stickers, they're not going to be here very long, I don't think. Be with us for a while. But the question of where do you stand with God, that's a more important thing. That's a thing we need to really grapple with. So how do you know where you stand with God? That was my next question. How do you know? And this is the answer that I believe through Jesus' teaching, through all of Scripture. It's all about the position of your heart. It's not about the position of your feet. It's the position of your heart. That's how you know where you're at with God. So, how's your heart? How's your heart? Maybe your heart's broken right now. Maybe your heart's like that word we talked about at the beginning of the message. It's full of chaos. You don't know what to make, how to make sense of everything that's going on. Maybe your heart's drifted from God in this season as you're trying to figure it out on your own. I go back to that image at the very beginning of what we were talking about. Humbled by this image of souls who had given their lives. They died, missionaries, pastors, people who at the very beginning of Christianity, and you can read about this in history books, that Nero killed Christians for sport, for entertainment. They will all be at the very end crying out for justice, but they gave their life for Jesus. You know, some have and will give their life, but for all of us, all Christ followers must give their hearts. You must give God all of your heart. Jesus spoke this, and he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So to press in just a little bit more, where do you stand with God today? If you're here today and you're saying, my heart's drifted. My heart resembles the same chaos we see on the evening news. And there's no order. And I'm ready. And there is a simple, simple prayer. And if you just bow your heads right where you are, right where you are online, if you're watching at home, just bow your hearts and your heads just for a moment. And you're saying, I want the chaos in my life, in my heart. I want it to end. Maybe that chaos is anger and frustration. Maybe it's worry and depression. Maybe it's a life of sin that you have walked away from God. And right now you're saying, I want to run to the arms of the Father. I want to give my heart to Jesus. It is this simple to just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins, and you rose again on the third day. I'm surrendering my heart to you. I give you my heart. Forgive me of my sins, and I'm ready to follow you for the rest of my days. For anybody that's prayed that right now, just congratulations. But let's just, right now in this moment of prayer, I want to pray for one more group of people. You're here today, you're following Jesus, you still sense the chaos, and chaos in this world can sometimes give way to fear. And we can read the book of Revelation and we can be afraid, but God would have us be comforted and God would have us be challenged. And if you're here today and you're tired of being afraid and you need strength, right now, I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, I pray for all those who need strength, physical strength, emotional strength, mental strength to get through the difficult times in this season. Let our lives be a testimony of who God is in the midst of the storms. In Jesus' name, amen.